Hello and welcome back to the Soapbox for an episode that should, I hope, be on time. And this is going to be, I think, an interesting discussion, not just in terms of Australia, but in terms of the wider world and the way that our church has been caring for kids in school and how our education system has been going. But before we get into that, I want to ask Dad, how has your week been?
Yes, so far so good. I have ministers' meetings today in Greater Sydney Conference, which is Sydney itself. We're able to get together whenever we want. So we meet together as ministers at least once a quarter and get together and talk about all things to do with ministry. And that's really powerful and a great way to go. So, and I've just finished a series on parenting at one of our local churches, which has been fun to do as well. Looking at all things to do with parenting in the digital age. So that's been exciting. What about you? What's happening in your world?
I've moved since our last episode. All settled into the new place and started at a new at my new church down in Foresters Beach, hitting or starting my second week there now, which has been
That's
great.
down on the central coast of Australia, in between Sydney and Newcastle, more or less.
It's pretty much it kind of bang in the center there, a bit closer to Sydney than Newcastle. But yeah, that's the second week that I've been there. Getting out, visiting, have a board meeting tonight. And so church life has really begun. And it's really, really exciting and about to get my feet into the schools as well. There's speaking next week at Avondale School, and then hopefully very soon in, on the Central Coast as well.
At Foresters Beach, you've got a major Adventist school right next door to your church, more or less. Central Coast School, which is one of the biggest Adventist schools in the Northern New South Wales area. And as I sit here, I look out the window across to a school at Warunga, which I was chaplain at last year, and spent some time in. Even now, I'm in there almost every week doing something with the kids, whether it's gardening or chooks or checking on or chickens for those in America. The school grows prize chickens. I've also been to show. Or most weeks, I spend at least half my time in schools doing chapels or night programs or other meetings in our schools as well. So, Greater Sydney Conference, which I'm in, has nine schools that they care for, including the South New South Wales schools. I think there's similar schools in North New South Wales, Andrew.
Yeah, there's schools up and down the coast as well. And in fact, the schools across the entirety of New South Wales is one of the largest education sectors. You got the public schools, the Catholics, and the Anglicans, and then we're right in there as well, with our schools, which is really cool to be able to serve communities with quality education.
And of course, the government knows that it needs these schools. It could never supply all the public schools. In Australia, public school is basically free, and private schools where parents choose to pay extra fees. But also, government funding goes to those private schools because they know they can't cope without them. So it's quite a good place, an exciting place to be in for our schools. I know there's some plans to plant some new schools, and I think that's really missional. As we'll discuss shortly, that I think that maybe one of the best ways to grow our church going forward is to actually plant schools and churches side by side.
Absolutely. And that's a great segue into today's topic. Today, as we've been exploring all the different topics we want to speak about, we're going to speak about education. But before we get there, I want to speak about what you're about to do. You're about to go on a bit of a learning holiday. A work learning work trip, we'll say. I don't want to say holiday. Over to the US. What are you doing in the US over the next 2 weeks?
Yes, well, I'm in another life, another hat I put on. I am part of Intergenerate Australia New Zealand, and we have a conference coming up in August. We're bringing out David Sinos, who is one of the leading theologians and practitioners when it comes to intergenerational connections in churches. And I am going over this week to Intergenerate International, which is over at Lipscomb University in Tennessee, in Nashville, Tennessee, right there in the country western Bible Belt of USA. So that's where all the leading practitioners and academics come together to discuss all things intergenerational and what it means to move church in more of an intergenerational format. So I'm looking forward to that. And if the timing works out with Andrew's schedule and my schedule, I might try and do a podcast each day next week to look at the key learning points for each day as to what the current practitioners and theologians are saying. So watch for that. If you get the timing right, you might do some daily podcast updates. You might get two next week. It starts, I think, Tuesday US time, which will be Wednesday Australian time. So maybe Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Yeah, you'll see at least maybe one or two podcasts if we can work it. So I can't promise. It depends on good Wi-Fi over there, which I say they have at the university. And it also depends on the timing because, of course, I'm flying backwards into I leave here Thursday night and arrive in America Thursday night and then fly down to Nashville and arrive 5 a.m. Friday morning, which will be actually Saturday Australian time. So, yes, but I am excited, looking forward to it's always, I find the greatest learning is when you sit with the greatest minds, the greatest spiritual minds across denominations and just hear where things are at and look at how that works for the Adventist context.
Absolutely. So today we're going to look at all things Adventist education and we're kind of given a very brief background. But one of the reasons I wanted to speak about this is I've seen a number of ministers from around the world speaking about how their local church schools, particularly in North America, are struggling, for lack of a better word. They can't get teachers, student numbers are dwindling, they're all of a sudden trying to shift to getting a lot of community kids. And I don't know if this goes for all the schools across the US, all the Adventist schools, but it certainly seems to be a trend I've started seeing. There's been a lot more discussion about it in the last few weeks saying, hey, there's a bit of a crisis going on. And it got me thinking about our school system in Australia and how the Adventist school system in Australia is in the exact opposite situation where we're thriving. All our schools are actually growing and building more buildings, getting more chaplains, needing more teachers, and so on and so forth. And I kind of wanted to ask myself a bit of a question. Why is there that difference? And also, how can we be missional in our schools here in particularly Australia, but maybe those from around the world might also be able to take some learnings from what we've really been doing as well. So I want to get your thoughts on that kind of picture. What's going on in North America? What's going on in Australia? What does the lay of the land actually look like?
Yes, and I think there's a bit of a history there we need to talk about, and I can't say I know all the answers, but I do know that a North American education system recently did a tour of our Australian schools to learn from what Australia is doing and to see if they can apply some of that back over there in the States, because they realise that Australian school system is going really well, going gangbusters. And in fact, there's new campuses planned. I know that they're about to start one in your conference at Maitland, which is just starting
October.
Up.
October.
Yes. And you have land at Wadawa because Central Coast School near you is at capacity. They've actually totally built out their area there right next to Erina Shopping Centre. So it's really landlocked. And so they've bought new land at just nearby at Wadawa to build a new Adventist school there. And I know that the plans for other schools down the track as well. And not just that, but also revitalising some of our existing schools and growing them further. Mm. And so I think part of the issue is that Australia probably transitioned, and it might be even older than this, but at least 20 years ago, if not more, transitioned from the idea of being an Adventist-centric school where they only allow for 10% of Adventist school attendees to be non-Adventist. And that reversed with a decision made to make our Adventist schools more missional, and they actually opened it up to anybody that wants to come. And our schools have now grown to the fact where there's probably now 75 to 85% in our schools are non-Adventist and the rest are Adventist. So there's a whole lot of changes of context when you go through all of that. And so I think that part of the American context is that there's growing pains because they've been very much an Adventist-centric idea of a fortress mentality. We don't want to have anything pollute our schools. We want our kids to grow and learn what it means to be an Adventist.
Mm.
And I think that they're finding now there's a shrinking audience for that as parents realise there are other options and cheaper options sometimes because of the various funding models. And often with the economy and the things that are happening around the world, it's they'll look at the cost. Is it cost effective to send their kids to an Adventist school anymore? And while there's still probably pressure on to do that, they find that they can find other models where they send their kids to. And so that's causing a problem. And I think what I read in some of the American Adventist journals, there's also in communications, there's also a crisis of keeping good Adventist teachers and attracting good Adventist teachers into the Adventist system there in the States. So trying to continue to maintain the Adventist identity is an issue there for Northern America and the States as well.
Hmm. There's a lot in that. And I think in Australia, we were lucky that that decision was made quite a significant time ago. And I know it's not just in Australia, but in New Zealand, that decision was made for them. And over there, a lot of their schools became what they call partner schools, where the Adventist education system runs it, but the school is entirely funded by the government.
Yes, I remember that happening. Yes.
And that's also worked out quite well for our schools because it means that anyone can attend our schools while still keeping their Adventist identity, which is a really interesting, complex sort of thing to consider in terms of the way that government and faith can work together. But in terms of education, we find that when we partner, it goes from strength to strength, and we actually, as Adventists, get given on a silver platter a really great opportunity to be missional and to connect with a community that we wouldn't otherwise actually be able to connect with.
I think you're right there, Andrew. And I think part of the problem in the States also is that it's still the idea that the church funds the school. And a lot of the churches are growing older rather than growing younger.
Mm-hmm.
There's also a pastor shortage coming up really quickly in the States, along with a teacher shortage due to the ages of the teachers. And there's some really crunch time points coming for the models over there. And also maybe because of the fact that they don't even think about it, there's maybe even a failure to realise the advantage potential of children making a decision to follow Jesus, a lifelong decision, and often they're looking for decisions at an older age group rather than realising that the school in their backyard is a very mission field to focus on.
Absolutely, and I think there are some examples of schools in the US that are doing that bit well. I think there's Auburn Academy, which is where Rome Ulia is.
Yes.
Not New South Wales product. And there's a couple in Oregon, and there's a couple in just near Southern as well, that have been able to make that shift and shift their school to a model of very similar to what we have in Australia, but funded and paid for, obviously, as a private school with very little government input, from what I understand, in the way the US system works. But in Australia, if I look around all the schools that are around me, where I am, every single one of them has maybe, at its max, 10% Adventists attending. And one of the schools around here, I believe, is 10% any sort of Christian attending.
Wow.
And I recently did a school camp for a school, and I very quickly realized when speaking to this audience that I was speaking to an audience of 120 Year 7 students, of which maybe 12 had any connection to our church. And you don't get an evangelistic audience like that of people who are from way outside our system anywhere else in Australia. That just doesn't happen. You don't fill a church with people that are non-Adventist and non-Christian easily. And yet they were all sitting there listening to me share about the gospel with them. And I think that's a missional opportunity that, if we're not careful, might go past us very quickly.
I think you're spot on, Andrew. And as I talk about regularly, my soapbox is a 4-14 window is the key to evangelism. It's when most people make a lifelong decision to follow Jesus. And as you saw there at that school camp, a lot of these kids don't know the Bible stories even. And we've got to start from the very, very basics to present, as you say, the simple gospel, because they've not been brought up with that in their homes. They're coming from, often the parents see the morals, see the values, and see what Christianity has to offer. And they want that for their kids, and they're prepared to pay significant dollars for it. And here's the key, is that these parents have already, if you like, bought into the Adventist philosophy and understanding, because it's very clearly on our website, so very clearly who we are, what we do. They're already paying for it. And so we're not just impacting the child sitting in the school desk, we're impacting a whole family that comes with them and an extended family. And you try running any event involving school kids and you quickly have a hall absolutely jam-packed full of parents and extras and very keen to hear what Christianity and the Adventist message has to offer. So I think we ignore the schools and we ignore what they're doing at our own peril. I really think we do. And that's why I think why our conferences are now getting serious about chaplains mm-hmm. being in our schools. We've actually upped the number in Greater Sydney and North South Wales, I know, to not just one chaplain, but 2, 3, sometimes 4 chaplains in our schools, knowing that this is possibly our best evangelistic effort is found right there in our schools and in the families that support that school.
Yeah, and I think in the future, I think it would be really helpful for us to get on a campus pastor, because at least in North New South Wales, I know there's a few examples in Greater Sydney where we've actually planted or started a church, or a church is birthed from a school. Or also in other situations, a church is chosen to even move onto a school campus and become a campus church to really do mission and to care for the families of that school as their community and as their primary purpose. And it hasn't always been done perfectly, but I think it says a lot when churches get serious about making who they are all about the school, where they've got so many community people attending. And I think that's one of the key models that the rest of the world, I think, can take from what we've done and say, hey, we're going to plant churches on our school campuses, or if we have a church in our school campus, we're going to get serious about it and we're going to work out a way to make this happen so that this can become a mission field.
Yes, I think you're right. I went to a chapel just last week at one of our schools here in Greater Sydney, and the chaplains were there, but there was not just a few, there was rows and rows of parents who turned up to watch chapel and be at chapel, and they had a coffee cart there and they were serving their parents. And I looked at the model and the parents actually see chapel as their church. These are unchurched parents seeing the chapel as their church. Mm. Now, if there's a campus church that is strategically serving those parents, it's not a big hop, step and jump to say, here is your chapel, here is your school, here is your church. And I think if they're planted side by side and they're intentional, then I think there's a huge harvest to be had, because post-COVID, families are looking for community, they're looking for warmth, they're looking for relationship. And I think that a campus church is an ideal place to provide that. If they realise they need to sometimes let some old methods of evangelism go and embrace relevant community-focused, warmth-focused, relationship-focused evangelism, I think that we'll see an even greater alignment of the church and school and a greater growth in our churches and our school because of that.
Yeah. On that vein, what you said brought a quote back to my head that one of my chaplaincy mentors gave to me. I don't know whether you're ready to guess who it is, but it was Mel Lemke. What you just said was his big thing. He said to me one day when we were sitting at the back of the old, because it's gone now, it's about to be rebuilt, the old music building at Avondale School.
Where Mel was 10 years of chaplaincy there.
10 years there, yep. We were sitting up there, and I was still in year 12, but I was taking chapels there. And he said to me, this is the only church that many of these kids will ever see.
The only Jesus sometimes. Yeah.
The only Jesus. But I want to get that is that Mel, as a chaplain, saw his chapels, and as a chaplain, he's a pastor as well. He saw his chapels as church for the kids, but also, like you just shared, for the families that came along to watch their kids participate in chapel. And I think that's a really important thing, is that our schools are an opportunity to show Jesus, to show church, to show what we actually can be to people who otherwise will have no contact with the message of Jesus.
Yes, and I think you're spot on. I think Mel was a visionary in this area, and it's a shame that he's no longer with us, because he was really, he left Avondale to go and pioneer the whole thing in South Queensland Conference, and was chaplain of chaplains up there, and really did some pioneering work there too. He's seen as a pioneer in this area, and I think that chaplaincy is taken more seriously because of the work of Mel. And I think we'll see generation now coming through that will even reap a greater harvest because of Mel. And I think when you look at churches, and some churches are growing older and, if you like, are becoming irrelevant, but I think that churches attached to schools are vital, are relevant, are, if you like, contemporary, because they have to be. If you go into a school these days, it's not to sit behind desks and do your three R's, as I call it, and not get up and not move. It's very much an interactive environment, and creating warmth and community in our schools and churches, I think, that are going to be relevant going forward, especially in the post-COVID world, are going to need to really embrace those same realities. And I think that Peter Ramfort's been pretty vigorous in writing, and thank you, Peter. You're listening to the work that you've done. We'll attach some of his work to the podcast, Andrew, as well. He's written some great little books on how to be relevant in a post-COVID world.
Yeah. So as we start to bring this topic home, and as we think about possibly getting a campus pastor on to speak about their work, I think some of the key takeaways is that if your school isn't yet missional, this is a prime opportunity to gear it for mission, to get the church involved, to get chaplains involved, and to really sit down and take stock and think about what you're doing and how you can be missional. I think in Australia, we've been blessed in that we had some visionaries that saw what was coming down the road and recognized the decline in numbers and shifted our posture so that we can connect with community, we can connect with people, and we can connect with a community that otherwise would never have contact with Adventism. I think we also have some challenges as well. I think some challenges that we're currently seeing here in Australia is that many churches haven't taken it seriously yet. There's many schools that don't have a church that's connected to them in a serious way. I think another challenge we have is we have to navigate the changing culture in Australia and how that works and functions within our schools. And that might mean, as Adventists, I hate to say this, I'm going to get crucified, I think, as Adventists, taking the pressure off on some of our points of difference in order to show Jesus.
I like how you said that, Andrew, and I think that Jesus at the center is the answer, and that means letting go of what might be hindering that and embracing what might help us to be more missional as a community in our churches, and especially in our campus churches. And I think the way forward, as I said earlier, is for our our campuses to grow and for our churches to come alongside them and ask the question, how can we serve you better? I think we need to humble ourselves because we don't have the answers. And just asking, and this is what I think is key to getting campus passed on down the track, and asking what churches can do to serve a campus better, I think is going to help us in the long run, because when we serve, that's indeed what Jesus did. He served first and then to come and follow me. And I think that we need to embrace that same model when it comes to embracing what the school community has to offer.
And I think along that line, I'd also challenge school leaders to embrace the churches.
Yes.
I think it's very easy for each of us to end up in silos and to not engage all the different facets of our community in order for success. And I think that's one of the challenges when it comes to mission.
Probably the greatest challenge, Andrew, is that the school land and church land sail further apart rather than travelling together. And I think we need to realise that we are in the same boat and to make sure we build bridges where we can to keep church and school on the same page. It the churches need the schools and vice versa, and we need to realise that together we can do better.
And I understand why in some spaces churches and school have gone in different directions, because sometimes as a pastor I sit there and I just put my hands over my head and cringe at some of the way that some things happen in church life.
Yes.
But I think we're better together, and when we navigate those differences is where we see mission really happening. I know that, for example, at CCAS, I'm seeing constant notifications of this kid's getting baptized and that kid's getting baptized and inviting people along. And I think that's a really great problem to have, that there's not enough Sabbaths to fit all of those things into. But I think we have to be willing to embrace each other. And it doesn't go for chaplains. It also goes for the school leaders as well, to get engaged and to be willing to talk to pastors and understand what pastors are saying, for pastors to speak to school leaders and understand what they're saying and get on the same page when it comes to mission for our kids and for the kids and for the families that choose to attend our churches and our schools.
Well, I think that really sets the segue now for us down the track to actually maybe one or two campus pastors in and pick their brains as to what they're experiencing and what they're seeing, and to hear their vision for where they see the church going. But I think that today has opened up some real challenges for us to think about as well when it comes to doing mission. But in the end, we need to realise that we as a church and we as a school system exist for mission. That's the reason why we're here. And if we can find ways to do that better, then I think there's going to be a better way forward for all of us. So I guess my challenge to people listening today is to sit down with your local school principal, support them, support your chaplains, and vice versa. Do lots of cuppas together and lots of listening together. And I think ask the important question, how can we serve you more? And that, I think, is going to embrace what mission's all about.
Absolutely. And I think with that, I think we can say that look out for a future episode in probably a couple of months' time, because you're away in America between now and then, where we will hopefully sit down with a campus pastor and maybe even a chaplain or two and discuss what school ministry looks like for them. So with that, I guess we can say over and out, and thanks for listening to the Soapbox Podcast.
And I might catch you in about a week's time with a special intergenerational podcast. Watch for that.
Looking forward to it.